Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
Bears fans, don't go anywhere. Get right back into this team in just a moment. Good evening, everyone. I'll be here the next 3 hours, and then David Schuster will be in for Julie DeCaro till midnight. Then the Grobbers with you all evening right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. A lot going on. For some reason, it seems to be a controversial time in Chicago sports. I'll explain in a moment. There's some things I need to get to throughout the entire evening, but what a treat. Maybe you're at work earlier in the day and you want to check out the podcast, of course, after this show or sometime tomorrow, whenever you have some free time. 9 a.m. to noon today, hearing the Boers and Bernstein show. And Chris Ranji calling in, Matt Abatacola, multiple laugh-out-loud moments. Chris Tannehill did a terrific job stepping in as the executive producer. And it just kind of, for me personally, and maybe there's some other people, it just brings you back to a different time in your life when you were listening to that show on a daily basis like I was. It brought me back to college. I went to Columbia College downtown and how I would be listening in between my classes. Sometimes you end up having an hour, hour and a half, and you don't have time to go all the way back home and just hang out downtown and listen to that show and just crack up, man. It was the summer of 2002, and they were in their prime, their heyday. And I was a junior, I believe, at Columbia, and I got my interview for an internship at The Score. So excited. It was with Matt Fishman, the sports director at the time, before he moved on to bigger and better things. And I was thrilled to get the call back to hear that I landed an internship at The Score. That's what I always wanted. Not so much the internship, but to work at The Score one day. Just grew up listening to the station. This was it. This was going to be my chance. Maybe I could land a job. But it wasn't for the B&B show. Of course, they ask you what you would like to do. But it was with another show with executive producer Herb Lawrence, who is my executive producer now. It's funny. And Eric Beverly and Mike North, and that's how I got to know Doug Buffone a little bit. If you see my avatar on Twitter, you see that it's a younger version of myself and Doug Buffone. So it ended up working out just fine for me, but you know, Bernstein always says when promoting a show, or he used to, he doesn't do it as much anymore. He used to always say, well, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know. We'll see. If you hang around or produce that show for one day, you realize that that's the truth. And there were so many shows that tried to replicate that. They didn't plan on anything. And you had no idea what was going to happen inside of a show. And it was great that they didn't have a ton of guests because it left for so much time and Abatacola to yell at Bernstein or whatever. I mean, Ranji couldn't stop laughing. But that's the truth. As far as I could tell, they didn't plan a damn thing. And it was magic. There wasn't anything manufactured. So it was just so cool to hear Terry and Dan back together doing a three-hour show. And if you were a fan, I would suggest you go back and listen. It's also, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, not even 20 years ago, parts of the show 20 years ago, but it wasn't even that long ago. And if you think about some of the bits, some of the drops that they would play, you'd get fired. You'd get launched in a second right now if you tried to pull that on the air. in 2019. But that was really cool. And I hope that we hear it sometime again. Joe Ostrowski with you. I mentioned for the next 3 hours, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'm actually going to be on during that for that show, in for, I guess, Dan, because I'll be doing the show with Connor McKnight Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. And then next week, 1 week from today, the launch of You Better You Bet on Radio.com Sports. So if you haven't already on your phone, make sure you download the Radio.com app. That's how you can listen to The Score anytime, and that's how you'll be able to hear my sports betting show. I'll be a part of twice a week. That's the plan going in, twice a week, 5 to 9 p.m. every single day, especially when there's Cubs or Bulls games that we're carrying and I'm not on the air. I'll be over there with my guy Nick Costos or Lockie Lockerson, who knows a ton about college football. It's going to be football intensive, and that's where I want to start this evening here on The Score. Let's go right to the Bears.
Bears.
So if you listened to my early odd show this weekend, or maybe you caught the podcast later on, it's every Saturday at 8:30. I had Whale Capper on. Quite envious of that man. He knows so much. He runs so many studies concentrated in the NFL. Right? His real name, Drew Dinsick. And so I asked him about it on the show. We'll start here as a jumping off point, and then we'll relate it to the 2019 Bears and what they're going to end up doing this season. Here's 3 minutes of myself and Whale this weekend on Early Odds.
You know, last year, like, the light bulb kind of went off, and we were going combing through the historical data, and we realized that, man, there really are not a lot of examples of the market getting it exactly right. There's only a handful of teams any given year that land within about a half of win of the widely available win total. And that may seem like, you know, like, oh yeah, duh. Like, there's, you know, no kidding. Like, you know, Bears last year, great example. They were expected to win, what, like six games, and they win 12? That happens year in and year out, where the market just completely whiffs. And it's not accidental. I mean, we don't necessarily know how teams are going to improve or regress over the course of the season. We don't know who's going to incur the major injuries, or who's, you know, what players, what positional groups are going to take major steps forward. And so while, yes, the closing lines on win totals for a given season have some predictive power, the uncertainty around how things end up is always a lot broader than what the price that they offer you to sell off of the, you know, certain numbers. And what I mean by that is, if you walk to just any standard book and you say, okay, well, give me the Bears. I want the Bears. What's the Bears number? Maybe they're hanging just a single number with a price to bet over and a price to bet under. They'll increase the price on the over if they're taking a lot of overaction, and vice versa, until they get to the point where they're like, okay, well, our price is so prohibitive now on the over, we got to move the whole thing a half a win up. Right, so now instead of 9, it's 9.5 or whatever. And the interesting part of this is the way that those pricing models are set up, and kind of the underlying, like, this is the uncertainty associated with these numbers, is really, really different than what you see if you kind of break down the historical data. Like, effectively, they're saying, yeah, there's a 50-50 chance that, you know, we're only off by about a win. And then you look at last year's, like, full set of 32 teams in the NFL, and only four teams landed within a win of their closing line win total, which is just crazy.
Four.
So, you know, they're only four last year. And this is common. This is not just a weird year. Last year was a weird year. No, like, year over year, from the last 4 years, we kind of went into detail because we had some better kind of prices of some of the alternate win totals. And what we saw is that, man, you know, like, there is really – there's no excuse for laying heavy duty juice on any given win total, right? Like, no matter how much you think you like, what's a good example this year? No matter how much you think you like Bills over, like, it's not worth laying -180 to bet over 6.5. You are paying a premium that is way, 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 way beyond what that actual half win or so is worth. Like, if you can go find a 7 at, you know, a relatively standard juice, like, you're you know, over the long run, you're gonna have a much better, you know, much better return on your investment betting over 7 at a better price than you are going to be over 6.5 at a price that's juiced to the 9.
I thought that was fascinating. That was Whale Capper with me this weekend on Early Odds on Sports Radio 670, The Score. So the takeaway, the study that he ran told him, and it wasn't a one-off, it wasn't just 1 year, was that we think going into a season, we talk so much about it in the offseason. Well, this is what the books have. This is the win total. They'll be somewhere around there. Nope. His homework showed that on average, the win total and the record at the end of the year is off by 2.3 victories. 2.3 on a 16-game schedule. That's astonishing. And you know what? The Bears fit that last year. The win total was 6.5, and what happened? They demolished it, and they go 12-4. Just crushed it. And they were on a long run of going under during those Trestman and John Fox years, right? And at the end of the Love year, I think it goes back that far, too. So, I know a lot of you believe that 9 isn't fair, that it should be higher, but, you know, to get the over, you need to get 10 wins. 10-6, never easy in this league. So here's the question I threw out on Twitter. And I'm not going to read the results yet. I'll read some responses. Not going to get to all the results because I want to give you guys a chance to vote if you want to chime in. I said, which record is more likely for the 2019 Bears and why? 2 wins above the win total brings you to 11-5. 2 wins, or 2 wins below the win total brings you to 7-9, a below 500 record. Which is more likely, 11-5 or 7-9? Here's the thing. Just as I'm trying to play this out in my head, usually when you talk about a good team, the first reaction is, well, is the quarterback going to be healthy? If Chase Daniels starts the entire season, what's the difference between Trubisky and Chase Daniel? Not hating on Trubisky for a second, so relax. Is it a huge difference? Huge? Yeah, they lost that Giants game with Daniel under center. Was that on the defense or Daniel? They put up some points in that game. Defense didn't show up from what I remember. So if you want to vote on Twitter, at Joe0670, which is a more likely result? And I want to take your phone calls too. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You on the 11-5 train? Or are you saying 7-9 more likely? A game below 500 after that 12-4 season. Herbie and Studs want to bring you in. Herb Lawrence, executive producer. Adam Studzinski, associate producer this evening. Herbie, I'll start with you. Where do you side on this for this year? What's more likely, 11-5 or 7-9?
I would go at 11-5.
You would. Just, I thought you might. You might.
I told.
Go
I was sitting here like he's going to go under.
Yeah.
I mean, out of those two scenarios, I would more likely go 11-5, just because I don't see the Bears falling off to a 7-9 from a 12-4 last year.
12-4.
I don't see them falling off to 7-9. Yes, their schedule is tougher, but I see it's more likely, in my opinion, that they're going to be an 11-5 team than a 7-9 team, but. Saying all this, yeah. I think they're going to be at like 9 wins.
It seems like a pretty strong number, but it is amazing. Amazing. But so if there's one injury, if things fall off, obviously it's Khalil Mack, right? Adam Studzinski, what do I have to ask?
Yeah,
do
I
do.
Do
I even need to waste any airtime on this?
But all right, so in
real, I think though, you're going to be upset that two above is 11 wins, that it should be more like 13-3.
No. I think that's actually a pretty fair number for this team. And even when the schedule first came out and I was just doing like a quick breakdown of it, I was like, yeah, 10, 11 wins is fair for this team. So I think that, yeah, of those two scenarios, if they go 7-9, things went really wrong, man. Like, there were multiple injuries. Mitch regressed. David Montgomery is a dud. Like, so many things are going to have to go wrong for them to have that kind of record.
I mean, you're winning almost half your games. That's not easy to do in this league.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that of those two scenarios.
Yeah.
11-5, I think, is where I definitely where I lean.
Okay. It feels like there's an ocean between 11 and 7 wins, doesn't it?
Yeah, because there's so many, like, so it's more likely that they lean towards more wins than less wins compared to what their line is.
Okay. Okay, good. Phone lines are open. I want to hear from you guys. What's more likely? What's a more likely result for the 2019 Bears? An 11-5 year or a 7-9? On average, they're 2 wins off from the win total. Win total set at 9. And I heard people, well, why 11-5? It should be they're going 12-4. They're going 13-3. Because it's 2 wins higher, okay? Okay, so what's more likely? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Here's some replies from Twitter, at Midway Pat. Speaking of former interns, former intern right here on the Score. The only question marks are at QB. A QB that can be schemed into good enough with the head coach and the kicker. I'm all in on the Bears this season. I think he bet on them to win the Super Bowl. Like Terry Bores. I found that to be hilarious. Because the number stinks. I love Terry because he's obviously a gambler. But if you say you're talking horses and you pick the favorite, you're a chalk playing bleep. But he's out here saying the Bears. But in the end, what really matters? Cashing that ticket. We don't live in Vegas. We don't have these books, sports books at the corner that we can run to when the number's at its highest point, okay? Adam Chernoff. This guy, he's run books before, okay? Not in the U.S., outside of the U.S. I'll go under not because of the regression angle so many are quoting, but rather because because other teams have been watching Nagy's tape for the last 8 months and 8 months of Kansas City tape, very similar scheme, and nothing suggests this offense won't be on script again in the first half this year. Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent point from Adam. Good stuff. My guy Bobby Sheridan says that's a nice angle to look at, Joe. In Bears' case, I'd say 11-5. It's the coaching staff second year, quarterback second year in the system. You add pieces, some confidence, redemption from a year ago. Perennial division favorite Packers, a bit unknown this season. So that's some of the reaction that I got on Twitter. 312-644-6767, which is more likely, 7-9 or 11-5 for the 2019 Bears. I will say it's a tougher story to tell if we're talking 7-9, but we're coming off this season high, and now you see what David Montgomery might be. You saw a glimpse of him in preseason game number one. They added some other pieces on offense. And how long can this defense be turnkey? You lose your defensive coordinator. Okay, probably not as good, but we'll see. Speaking of those that think the defense is due for some regression, Aaron Schatz, the author of the Football Outsiders Almanac 2019, will join me at 9 o'clock to talk about some of his projections for this season. Melrose Park, Vince, you're on 670 The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, Joe, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
I think the Bears will actually be a 7-9 team if I had to guess between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of those close games that they won last year, I don't think that they're going to pull out those same wins. I don't think that the Bears offense can bubble screen and Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery their way to a bunch of wins. I don't have any doubt that the defense will still be good this year, but another team only has to score maybe 10 to 14 points to really beat the Bears if their offense can't get going. And I would guess that a lackluster offense this year is going to be more likely than a better offense than last year.
All right. Thank you, Vince. Appreciate it. So the first vote of the night on the air is for 7-9. Again, you can text me at 67011, 67011. From the 773, 11-5. The difference between Trubisky and Daniel is huge. 8-1. I'm not saying there isn't a difference, but how are the Bears winning? Are they winning because of their quarterback play? No, they won all of last season because of that strong defense. Now, how are you going to need to win this year? Okay, they're built around their defense. We get it. But if you want to continue your winning ways, you want to return to the playoffs, you need the quarterback play to take it up a couple of notches. I don't think just one. 815, last year was the Bears' year. It was their window. If only we had a kicker because the momentum was there for 2019, I'm going to say 500. So I guess he's saying 7-9.
I like how you said that quickly, too, without any punctuation, like he texted it. That was well done. Well, good representation of that text.
Okay, yes. Some of these you look up, and if you read it verbatim, you're going to be like, oh, man, you're just going to end up sounding like an idiot. No, the window's here. I talked about this last week, Studs. I know everybody's sick of hearing about the kicker. I know you're one of those people. We'll talk about that coming up. But it's so important because you can't roll to the Super Bowl without a kicker making a big kick in a big moment when nobody else wants to be on that field. And you need to have ice water in your veins and just knock down that kick. Everything they've done, all of these assets they've given up in trades. I mean, how many teams have a five-year window? Those don't exist in this league. It's a 2 to 3 year window.
When you start looking
at the cap, all the salaries that are going to take massive jumps over the next 3 years, if you don't win on Trubisky's rookie contract, it's only going to get tougher. You disagree?
One of my friends just a year or two ago actually looked back at some of the teams that have won the Super Bowl in the last like 20 years.
Okay.
The vast majority of them don't have a quarterback on a max, the equivalent of a max contract in the
when
NBA.
They won.
Yeah, when they won, right? You have the Patriots winning consistently because in large part they can get as many good, well, plus
because of Giselle.
Because Tom Brady's like, I don't need this money. Restructure my deal all you want, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the Seahawks won, Russell Wilson on a rookie deal. When the Steelers won their first one with Big Ben, mm-hmm. he was on his first deal. And then I think when they won again, he still wasn't on a huge deal. Same thing with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. He was on his second contract, but he wasn't on a contract he's on now. They were still able to structure that roster pretty well around him because he had not yet reached that highest paid in the NFL level.
That's why I hate it when people say, well, let's just get back to the playoffs or let's just actually win once we're in the playoffs. No, you need to go all the way right now. Khalil Mack in his prime.
I fully agree with you. Like their window is now, and it's, you know, whatever the length of Trubisky's contract is.
Well, and that's how they're operating. And I'm not faulting Ryan Pace at all. They've given up all of these assets. So you know what that means? In a few years from now, they're not going to be the young team anymore, right? They're not going to have all of this depth. They have it right now. So that's why I'm saying you have to be all in for this season. If you're saying you're all in, I agree with you because that's what the Bears are saying. Don't listen to what – it doesn't matter what they say into microphones. I'm talking about their actual actions. Yes, let's move up. We need to get Anthony Miller. Hopefully he's ready for the regular season. We need this David Montgomery guy. No four next year. I don't care. I want him for my offense. He's my Kareem Hunt. That's it. They're all in for right now. And how long are running backs hanging around? Next 2 to 3 years, this is it. Three stretching it, especially in this league. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. I'll read the results of that poll on Twitter, at Joe0670. What's more likely, 7-9 or 11-5 for your 2019 Bears? You've got Joe Ostrowski on 670, The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's pull back a little bit. Same as last year. We're at a point where we're searching for plays to install at night, and that's usually not good. That means that you're not running plays that you've been running for, you know, that's in your core concept. So let's get back to just playing fast and that sort of thing, and we'll figure out what we like and what we don't like.
Bears head coach over the weekend, right before training camp wrapped up for 2019 in Bourbonnais. Now the rest of the year they'll be at Halas Hall. Seems to get shorter and shorter every single year. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Talking some Bears to get the evening rolling. Want to get to Chris Bryant and Joe Maddon coming up as well. And Aaron Schatz just thumbing through his almanac during the break. Here, let me grab this. Let me see, because this is, if I threw this at your face, it might knock you out for a week. This is how
many
pages.
I prefer you don't throw anything in my face, Joe.
This, how many pages you think this is? I don't. You didn't even see this when I had it. 474 pages, studs.
Is it hardback?
No, it's not.
I'll take it.
There's 10 pages on the just on the Bears and what their projections, what the 2019 season is going to look like, according to him. So Aaron Schatz will join me from Football Outsiders at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation. Kari Vedvik, forget him. Actually, you won't be able to forget him because he's going to be in the division. He's going to be a Viking. Traded from the Ravens to the Vikings for a fifth-round draft pick. I know Mully and Haw were saying this morning, they were reporting that the Bears were in these trade talks, but it was a conditional five. The Vikings stepped up and just gave a five. Just ruthless move. Ruthless move by Rick Spielman. And if you're thinking, well, why didn't the Bears offer a four? One, that's lunacy if you're going to offer a four. But they gave up their four in the Montgomery trade, so they did not have a four. And let's say it wasn't conditional. They just offered a five. If you're the Ravens and you have a five on the table from the Bears and a five on the table from the Vikings, aren't you taking Minnesota? Certainly they can have a bounce-back season, but I think you probably feel a little bit better about that Vikings pick because it should be a little bit higher. Maybe. That's the way I would lean. But Oakland thought the Bears picks were going to be great after that Khalil Mack trade.
Speaking of that, don't forget that the Bears have Oakland's
two
pick this coming season.
Good, because they got nothing else. Studs. They got nothing.
Do they have a second, their own second this year too?
They have two twos. So they have, and the Oakland two should be great. Take, Bears fans, take a gander at the Raiders' schedule. It is murderer's row. Early in the year, I think they have three straight road games. And then there's the Khalil Mack game out in London. I believe they lost a home game for that one. It's brutal what the NFL is doing to the Raiders before they go to Vegas. They don't have a shot this season. Good for the Bears. They'll have a high two, which will feel like a late one. Now, so Vedvik hasn't done anything in the league. And he commands a five. But I didn't see people ripping on the Vikings. I think it's because of Parkey. Nobody's ripping on the Vikings because of Parkey. Look at what the Bears lost. Maybe they're one real shot. Maybe. Possibly we're looking back years from now and say, oh, man, 2018 was their chance. Nobody was expecting it. They have the 12-4 season, killed at home all season, have a home game against the Eagles, and they couldn't even advance one game. And let's blame it all on the kicker. I didn't hear much of that. I heard a few people bringing up, boy, that's a lot for an unproven kicker, but not a ton. And according to Schefter, the only time that he could see that a kicker commanded this much in a trade was 1996. Pete Stojanovic goes from the Dolphins to the Chiefs for a fifth rounder and a conditional four. It's huge. You have to get that position taken care of. And I understand if you're sick of hearing about it, I get it. But if that's an issue, you're going to lose games.
That's still an awful lot to trade for a guy that has yet to make a kick in a regular season game.
It is, but you have a team that has a history of developing some kickers, and he was around the best one in the league for a couple of months.
Their kicking position's been a little snake bit since
Tucker.
Since who?
Well, they got Tucker.
No, sorry, I was talking about the Vikings.
Miami? Oh, yeah. No, the Vikings have had an issue. I was just talking about where Vedvik came from with Baltimore.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. They've been terrific with the kicking position and what Harbaugh has done there. So that's why Bears fans, you guys have been looking. Okay, well, they might let him go because he's not going to make the team. Well, they got an asset out of it. They got a fifth-round pick. So good job by Baltimore there. Vikings just ruthless. They had the Bears in mind
And my guy Rick Camp brought this up on Twitter. I thought it was a salient point that he said, oh, okay. So week 17, Bears-Vikings, division on the line. They've got Vedvik. Who the Bears have? We have no idea still. No idea. Open phone lines 312-644-6767. History shows us that the win totals are off by 2.3. Bears have a win total of 9. So let's say it's off by 2, one way or the other. 11-5 or 7-9? What do you see this season? Northside Paul, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Joey-O, it's Paulie Hayden. Shout out to the St. Constance Eagles. How you doing, brother?
Wow, what's up, Paulie?
Love your show, bro. Really proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm leaning more towards 11-5. Every single loss they had last year, they could have won, counting the playoff game. I think Nagy has the ability to change up the game plan. And last year, I don't think he opened up the book as much. I think he's going to work with Trubisky. I think he's going to have a great year. And I think nowhere but up. And you're right. The window is a three-year window. They got to do it now, and the Bears look all in.
When I saw Paul Northside, I had a funny feeling. How's the family, man?
Great. How about you?
Good. Fantastic.
I saw your lovely sister at the 25-year reunion.
She told me.
That was great.
She told me you were lit up like a Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
That's how you do it. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate it.
All right, Joey.
Paul Hayden, St. Constance, went to grade school together. Grew up a block away in the Jefferson Park area. I was on Mobile, and was he on Mulligan? I forgot. It was like a row of 50 M streets. It wasn't Mead or Moody. I think it was Mulligan. Maybe it was McVicker. I don't know. You know how it is. If you're growing up in this city, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The P streets, the M streets, over on the northwest side. That was great to hear from Paulie. I knew he'd be on the 11-5 train, of course. I get it. And what I'm hearing from a lot of Bears fans is, boy, 11-5 would be tough. It's true. You don't just roll out there and get 23 regular season victories over the course of 2 years. That is tough to do. Tough to do. Herb, your Chargers have done that, right? I think they have.
Yes, of course.
Right up there, your Chargers.
Well, they're not my Chargers anymore. They moved to L.A. They're dead to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you like the head coach?
Oh, Anthony Lynn's all good.
You think so? Okay. Because he was criticized a couple years ago how he handled the kicking situation. That was like their only losses of the year. This might be the year, but I got to tell you, I'm sick of losing money and betting on the Chargers to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, this is the year. This is the only last year that can do it. And the problem with Melvin Gordon missing some time,
people are thinking
Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson will be fine. They won't be. They need him in camp.
Really?
Yeah, they need a dynamic talent like that in camp.
Yeah, well, Phillip Rivers doesn't think so. They think they're just fine.
They better check. Check their thing.
That was a punk move, man.
You're the quarterback.
Yeah. You have the voice of that team. And to go out to the media and say, yeah, well, if he's not here, we'll be fine. What? You got to help your guy out a little bit.
Yeah, that's got to be a no comment.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yes. And just say, hopefully we get him back. They're obviously a better team with him on the field. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. But yeah.
And
how about a Bears-Chargers Super Bowl?
It's a smart thing for the Chargers to not pay him money because the running back position. They saw what happened with Gurley after he got paid, and now he's got some knee problems. So
he's not Zeke.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's a really good player, and they need him to stay healthy. Hopefully they end up working something out. I mean,
They have a Super Bowl contending team, though.
Oh, yeah.
If he is the guy.
In the past, I would always say, oh, yeah, great. I'm sick of the noise, whatever. Le'Veon Bell's going to be in camp. We all know he's going to be there. That kind of changed the game last season. So I'm not going to say that he's going to be out there 100% because I never thought we would see Le'Veon Bell sit an entire season like we did a year ago. Oh, need to read the results. I asked you guys to vote on Twitter, at Joe0670, which is more likely, 11-5 or 7-9? Here we go. 67% of you are rolling on the 11-5 side. I thought it might be a little higher because you look at a 7-9 record coming off last year. That's pretty startling. 9 is a good number. That's a solid number. Just 7 and 9. Everything went their way last year. I don't think the changes on defense will impact too much, but it might with the coach. He's going to send more pressure. We saw that early on in the preseason game. Can't wait till Friday. Get to see Bears-Giants. 3 more preseason games, and we're good to go. September 5th for the opener. Bears still favored by 3.5 points. That's been the number throughout the entire summer. I would expect as we get closer and closer to that season opener, the Bears to be favored by 3. We'll see some Aaron Rodgers, some Packer money. Rodgers is already changing place. I don't know if the LaFleur thing is going to work, but we've seen it happen a lot recently where the new head coach is the younger guy, comes in, and that year one, they get that bump. When you have 12 under center, they're always a threat. The Vikings are still a threat. That's why the win total is at 9 for all 3 teams. People don't know how to differentiate these 3. They don't. Is the Bears defense going to do that again? I think most of the public split on Trubisky. Is he going to take that next step? Is he going to be a top 15 quarterback? He's not right now, but he can be. Based on what we were hearing out of camp, he isn't off to a great start. And of course, yes, facing that defense is not easy. And the defense knows what they're trying to get done, too. I mean, Khalil Mack, just a monster, complete monster. It's probably stretching it, but you wonder if he could have an even better year because he didn't have a camp last year. And now he's going to be ready to go. I mean, I think Roquan Smith is going to be terrific. Another guy, as a rookie, didn't have much of a camp. And just how he settled in and the number of tackles that he compiled for this team. I would think, I'm buying so much Roquan Smith stock that I think there's an outside shot that he could be Defensive Player of the Year. That's how good I think he is. The problem is he's not going to get votes as long as Khalil Mack is healthy. But maybe he could have the most tackles in the entire league. I think that's a possibility. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year, Pat Fitzgerald, and the number 25 Northwestern Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And Herbie and Studs, my producers tonight, they are huge, huge White Sox fans. The Sox were rained out, if you did not hear the news. So no Sox game this evening. Guys, I got to get your thoughts on Bill Walton calling a game for your team. We'll get to that next. Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We're going to have to take another look at that. I love Las Vegas. Las Vegas is the only place on Earth you can see at night from the outer space.
I can't wait for that. I can't. Bill Walton will be calling a game with Jason Benetti.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
That's Friday, right, guys? White Sox and Angels.
Yeah, I believe so. The 16th, right?
Yeah, sure. What day is it? I don't even know. It shocks me that I look and it's August 12th already. So yeah, that's this coming Friday. So it's going to be a late game. Oh, damn. I wish it was a little bit early. This obviously does not happen without Benetti and the connections that he has with Walton. He's called games, and it really is a testament to the level that he's taken his career. I mean, when you aren't an average play-by-play man, when they're putting you with Walton, a guy that brings eyeballs, there's going to be videos floating around on Twitter and other forms of social media after every Walton game because the guy's a complete loon. You aren't paired with Dan Dockich, one of their best analysts, if you aren't damn good. This is about Walton, but I'll get there in just a second. I have to admit, I mean, not a lot of people criticize Benetti at all on this station. The first year, it was a rough adjustment. I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying just opposite ends of the spectrum, going from Hawk Harrelson to Jason Benetti. I have to admit that in year two, I like him a lot more than I did in year one. And he's as good as anyone when it comes to college basketball. And what he draws out of Stoney, and you know that's his main job, use your analyst. And he does it very well, something that Hawk failed miserably at because he thought he was the analyst. But I loved seeing this because they aren't just showing up every day, the broadcast crew, and just saying, oh, another crappy White Sox game, let's get through this one. They're trying different things. And that's what I love. If you've watched a recent broadcast, they're trying to have more fun because what the hell? They know the product is crap on most nights. It is. And they're usually playing some bad teams, especially in this division. And to have a younger player on the phone and just trying different things, talking about different aspects of the game, I like that they're trying things. This is off the wall. What do you have to lose? You're nearing the end of a disappointing season. It's a Friday game against the Angels, really late at night. It's just going to be wacky. You know it going in, and I think it's great because what's it going to do? It's going to draw people in. The more eyeballs, the better. The more ears, the better. It's created a bit of a buzz, and it will on Friday, and I can't wait. I'm not working during the game, which is fantastic because I'm doing the midday show with McKnight. So I get a chance to watch that broadcast and how it unfolds. You don't even have to be a Sox fan to go out of your way and want to check this out. You don't have to be a big baseball fan. You want to see what Bill Walton's going to say. It's that Howard Stern effect. What's he going to say next? Herb Lawrence, Adam Sadzinski producing tonight. Huge Sox fans, both of them. What do you think about Bill Walton calling a game for your team? Herbie, you go first.
Well, I'm a Bill Walton, I guess, I don't know. He doesn't impress me that much. His ridiculousness goes over my head.
I like the clips. I'll agree with you halfway that
I like the clips that Tanny plays, like the one he used to end the B&B show on.
Okay, let's make fun of Eli Hershkovich. Like, he's constantly tweeting clips of Bill Walton, and I'm like, dude, that's not that funny.
I have been milked.
just keep it moving. So you don't get the phenomena with Walton.
I get why people enjoy his work, but for me, no.
So you don't want him calling a Sox game, bottom line.
It's fine. I mean, it's the Sox. It's a losing season.
Season's over.
Yeah. Give some entertainment to the fans who do want to see Bill Walton with a professional like Jason Benetti. The game will be secondary in that time, even though we have a superstar on the field.
What do you think
of
Benetti?
One of the best baseball players of all time, but whatever.
What do you think of Benetti?
He's fine.
Oh.
I think highly,
come on,
highly.
Give your
highly,
honest opinion.
Highly. Not overrated. That's the wrong word to use. Just people just love him too much.
Do you think they love him because he's not Hawk?
Yeah, he gets some of that because he's an actual professional broadcaster. I think he does a great job. I think actually he's better doing basketball. I much more enjoy him doing basketball on ESPN broadcast than I do on the White Sox broadcast. But he's fine. Him and Stoney have great chemistry together, and they finished in the top 11 today in the awful announcing local broadcasters poll.
Did they?
Out of 30, yeah. Padres won.
I wasn't trying to criticize his baseball work when I said how good he is at college basketball. I just think he's as good as it gets in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
It was really a compliment. And
yeah, I think
for where the Sox are in the MLB landscape, I think he's better than they kind of expect.
Yeah, I think that he got a big bounce up because he is not Hawk.
Yeah.
And so what the broadcast was from Hawk to him was like it jumped up.
You think
page,
it's a lot better, but there's a lot of over the top love.
Yeah, he's good. He's a professional. He's good at his job. People are acting like he's like one of the best in the business at baseball, which I don't believe he is. He's one of 30.
I think he would tell you he's not.
Yeah, he just started the job. Let him get into the job and do his thing and establish a resume. but he's really good at basketball play-by-play. He's been doing that for a minute now.
Have you heard him do radio?
Like an actual show?
No, college basketball on the radio.
No, I have not.
Oh, so good. Really, really good.
I went to Syracuse. He should be great. Games.
Yeah, he's terrific. Studs, you're not getting out of this. What do you think of this? And go ahead.
I love it. And I love every second of it. I'll be honest. Because here's the thing. Like,
because you look like someone that would hang with Bill Walton.
Oh, exactly. Dude, totally. Like, he speaks to me spiritually. Like, just his weirdness and his ridiculousness. Like, you should see some of the stuff that me and my friends say to each other in, like, our group text and stuff. And you would 100% be like, yeah, every single one of these guys wants to hang with Bill Walton. So, yes, I'm all
what
about it.
What do you mean he speaks to you spiritually?
Just the way he acts, like the things he talks about, the randomness of the stuff he comes up with. And so it just speaks to me, man.
Herb, well, what do you think he meant by he speaks to me spiritually?
Smoking weed.
It's an expression. It's an expression. Well. You ever heard that expression before?
Yes, I have. But me and myself and Herb heard, man, that guy's cool because he gets high. That's
before
what I heard.
Yeah, it sounds like he's high on the broadcast.
He's going to be. I think it'll be great. See, Herb's going to be working. He's going to be mad because Bill Walton's calling the game.
I mean, I think I'll be here. Yeah, I'll be here. The Cubs play an early game on Friday, so I'll be here.
Who's doing the show?
I think Julie's doing the show afterwards.
Who's doing 6 to 10?
It's a Cubs game. Cubs at Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So the sound's always down here in the studios, so I won't be able to hear it. But I'll be watching, monitoring on Twitter.
Yes.
And while Twitter's going wild, reposting all the funny quips that Bill Walton has and all the repartee between him and Jason Benetti. I think Jason is brought Steve back. Not from the dead. Steve has always been good.
He's in his 70s, right?
Yeah, but like Hawk, I thought, brought Steve to a level where he's playing at his level. So Steve couldn't be the Steve that he is now. It seems like he's revitalized. Jason's brought him back to being one of the greatest analysts in the game. And he's very active on Twitter.
Yeah, he's clapping back big time at a lot of Sox fans.
It feels real. I mean, Steve is back.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, working with Hawk and all the negativity and all the
not allowed to speak.
Like the umpire is screwing us and this league is screwing us. The schedule's bad. All that type of garbage just, you know, weighs on you. And then Jason comes with a nice personality, a professionalism about himself, a personality that is different than, you know, being mad and not being a cheerleader of the team.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't love Hawk for much of his career, though.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
But he lost his fastball. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, yeah. It happens to everybody. All right, coming up next, Joe Maddon had a few interesting things to say over the weekend, and I spent my Sunday and Monday battling people about Chris Bryant. I'm still confused about what happened and why it all happened. That's next. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.